Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today. We're looking forward to this journey together as we face the issues we're talking about today. Equal rights and equal responsibility. Equal rights and equal responsibility. By the way, just as a little follow-up on what we've talked about previously about the coronavirus and some of the dangers, etc. I just had sent to me a moment ago by email. It's a picture, and it says, posted at a doctor's office today. And it's written out on a whiteboard in a doctor's office hanging on the wall. It says, every election year has a disease. SARS, 2004. The avian flu, 2008. Swine flu, 2010. MERS, 2012. Ebola 2014, Zika 2016, Ebola again in 2018, and now coronavirus in 2020. Over to the side on this list, it says facts. Coronavirus has a contagion factor of 2. SARS was 4. Measles is 18. Coronavirus has a cure rate of 99.7%. For those under 50, it infects. Coronavirus spreads. Spread is leveling off. This is a viral pneumonia being hyped as the Black Plague before an election this year. Just a little follow up on that, because I think that's exactly what we're seeing. And when you look at it in written form, it's a little odd that every election year there's a major virus that appears that's hyped as being deadly, dangerous, and a pandemic. That's what this one is being called. Just a little follow-up blurb that I thought you'd be interested in. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you today that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's a little unusual, but yet it is a real phenomenon. Most people today face an issue with just their own philosophy or by denominational dogma, with the rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. Some make their decisions to face issues based on ideological bent or persuasion. Others make their determination simply on what they're going to do regardless of what the Word of God says. But I believe that the best source book for us to have as a guidebook for our lives and a direction for our pathway is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called the Bible. God's Word is very, very clear. And I believe that as we study the Word of God, we recognize the fact. In fact, I've enjoyed studying and looking at Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. And may I suggest that to each of you today as you join in this dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you also, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so with the idea in mind of having you to call in, join the dialogue, the discussion. This is the reason we have the phone number, 831-0917. 831-0917 is the telephone number that you can call. That phone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion together. The entire program, Let's Face the Issues, is formatted on the question and answer basis so that you can call in, ask your question, get the answer, or have dialogue and discussion about the issues together. As we face the issues, we do so based on what I call truth. What is truth? Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Jesus made that statement to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And then he further states in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And so there's not a greater source book, ladies and gentlemen, for truth than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is not just a book that occasionally has truth. It is not just a source that you can go to for occasional facts. It is a source book for truth from cover to cover. Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation is a book of truth. It is God's truth to us. It is the revelation of God to man. And as we study the word of God, we have truth. And so what better methodology to use in the society in which we're living in today than to use the truth book, the Bible? It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We see that taking place, ladies and gentlemen, on a national and, may I even say, international level today. But it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made this statement. Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And may I suggest that that is the best antidote for what is taking place in the world today. And when we face the issues, we must understand that God created the home, God created the government, and he created the church, and he did so in that order. And so as we face the issues, we do so based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of professional as well as homeowners power equipment for lawns and landscape. They also carry the hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. They also have a full knowledgeable staff answering all of your questions about generation backup and or your power equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a brief moment in the introduction of the monologue, then we'll start taking our first callers. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've heard it. It was on the news just a couple of days ago. Kind of frightening to me, not in the sense that I'm shaking in my boots, but perhaps you've heard about Senator Chuck Schumer openly, viciously, and maliciously threatening two of the U.S. Supreme Court judges. I find it antithetical to anything that's called law enforcement or law lawyer making or lawmaking body as the Senate for a senator. The head of the Senate or the one that's the Democrat head of the Senate, Chuck Schumer, made that statement. Here's a statement from Jordan Sekulow, which is with the ACLJ. He says, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer just threatened two conservative U.S. Supreme Court justices if they don't vote to expand abortion and overturn pro-life laws. As the Chief Justice rightly reprimanded, this kind of threatening is very dangerous. Think about it. The pro-life left is now resorting to threats against conservative judges, justices, saying, and this is what part of the quote now, and this is restated by Jordan Sekulow, ACLJ, this is what portion of what the Chuck Schumer statement made. He said, you will pay the price, and you won't even know what hit you if they don't decide abortion cases their way. That's the approach that's being taken. Ladies and gentlemen, this particular writer, Jordan Sekulow, says, this is shameful and incredibly dangerous, not only for our constitutional republic, but for countless unborn lives. Because, you see, the threat was made because the Supreme Court hearing an additional case about a state law that will stem the abortion tide and stop the killing of so many babies in America. So I find it antithetical to anything that would be called proper out of the U.S. Senate for Chuck Schumer to make that kind of statement. Then, nevertheless, he's made the statement. Here's an article that says, Schumer's credibility hanging by a thread. Schumer's credibility hanging by a thread. Before Senate Schumer, Chuck Schumer, Democrat New York, stood on the Supreme Court steps and threatened two men inside, He voted for that bill. Then, in a moment of that revealed the nature of the abortion debate itself, Senator Schumer whipped up a euphoric rant for the abortion rights and went about proving why additional security was necessary when he issued this sinister warning. I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, that you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. This writer in this particular article, which is written by Tony Perkins, says around the country a stunned silence seemed to fall. Even the media was taken aback, shocked by the implication of Schumer's threat. Chief Justice Roberts, understanding the severity of the situation, wasted no time issuing a rare public statement. Quote, justices know that criticism comes with the territory, but threatening statements of this sort from the highest level of government are not only inappropriate, they're very dangerous. All members of the court will continue to do their jobs without fear or favor from whatever quarter, end quote. We have a caller on the line. Go with your question and comment, please.
I have just one moment, but I'd like to add two little things. One to your truth definition, and not to take away from, but to add another layer. Dr. Drew, in one of the very first law classes, laid out the question, what is truth? It's amazing the kind of answers you get when you ask that question of a mixed audience, you know. What is truth? And at the end of the day, the truth was best defined for me by being fidelity to the original. Fidelity to the original. If you want to know the truth of the scripture, don't pick up somebody's commentary. Go to the scripture. If you want to know the truth of the Constitution, go to the Constitution. Don't listen to some legal scholar's mumbo jumbo and stare decisis this and case law that. Come on, really, folks? Fidelity to the original. Stick with the original. On the Schumer thing, what an interesting situation he finds himself in. I think they'll do nothing. Maybe a censure vote that may or may not go anywhere. But there are a couple of different provisions in U.S. Code, Title 18, and I forget the two subsections, that deal with threatening public officials. You know, one goes specifically to threatening the presidency. Well, if that took place, you know, then Secret Service shows up at your door really, really fast, and they have an interview, and they may haul you away in shackles. But one is a little general in that it goes into all these different public officials' positions. And if they are threatened, a person could spend a lot of jail time. So the question is what Schumer did a threat? You know, I think that I would feel threatened if he said that to me or about me, especially in front of a large crowd where you're rallying the crowd into a frothy, frenzied, you know, let's go get them kind of mentality. But that's all I can add today. I'm going to have to go, but I look forward to hearing what you have to say about it. Thank you so much.
By the way, I don't know how you could call it anything but a threat when it says you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you. That is a vicious, vile, open, deliberate threat.
It sure seemed like one to me.
If you'd said that, or I'd said that, we would have the Secret Service at the door. By the way, just for the benefit of our listeners, ladies and gentlemen, this is Greg, one of our four sons, and Greg has his degree in ecclesiastical jurisprudence, which I am thankful for. And he's speaking of, and he talks about the professor that was teaching some of the courses on ecclesiastical jurisprudence, that is law based on the Word of God. They had some of the courses, some of the classes, based on what is truth and searching for truth and making determination on a court of law how you search for truth. But, Greg, it's just as you said, truth is not sought after today and it's not looked for today and it's demeaned today and overlooked today. And those that tell the truth are the ones that are the most put upon, and dissed in society today. But thank you so much for your joining the dialogue and the discussion today. It's always a blessing to have you on.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the subject of equal rights and equal responsibility, and you'll see why I have chosen that to be the title for the mantra today. And we've opened the discussion, the dialogue, based on Chuck Schumer, Senator Chuck Schumer. And what he has said in his public discourse out in front of the Supreme Court, when he was all frothy at the mouth and all upset and trying to cheer on the crowd, there was nothing more than a mob out in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. All of those that claim that they want equal rights and those that claim that they want rights for women at the same time, you can say a woman has a right, but a woman does not have a right to murder another human being. And that's what abortion is. It's the murder of a human being in the mother's womb. The mother does not have that right. But ladies and gentlemen, as Chuck Schumer made that threat, and I believe it is a threat, it can't be construed any other way. If a common citizen had made that statement publicly in that mob crowd, there would have been no question that before the speech was over, they would have had you or me in cuffs headed downtown, as it is called. But I want to ask you a few questions about Chuck Schumer's statements, and I'm going to go further into the details in the latter portion of this broadcast about the why and wherefore and how we ought to view it. Has he been put in jail? No. Did he receive an official law enforcement warning? No, not to my knowledge. Will he be charged with a felony? Probably not. So ladies and gentlemen, for this open verbal threat toward the two U.S. Supreme Court justices, and just as Greg just said, I believe it could be considered a felony. In fact, if it were anybody else in under the jurisprudence and under the leadership of and oversight of the governmental agencies in Washington, D.C. or New York, if it had been any other human being other than someone with clout and power and with the left mob following him, they would have been arrested. So just what happened? Why should Christians or conservatives be concerned about it? What Chuck Schumer did, what he has done, would it be something that there should be an official response? Should there be an official response concerning any of us today? How should we view this? What should we expect out of Washington and out of the U.S. Senate? The answer is very definitely yes, there should be a response. Definitely yes, there should be a retort to the statement. There should be a challenge, and there should be censure in the Senate, if nothing else. There should be a response from those that are conservatives and Christians in particular. There should even be a response from those on the left that should recognize that it's an open verbal threat to two U.S. Supreme Court justices, and therefore it can't just be left sitting in silence. But ladies and gentlemen, let's just take a brief little moment from that dialogue and discussion to simply go back to a very fundamental point. God created government. And you find that first mentioned in Genesis, the 9th chapter, dealing with capital punishment. God basically, I'm going to paraphrase, God said, you killed somebody, your life needs to be taken. That's the first instance of God's pointing out government and the creation of government. But it was codified and clarified more greatly throughout the scripture. But then in summary, in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans, and at Romans 13, I'm going to read you a few verses. Verse 1, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. In other words, God is the only power, and he ordains others to carry out his power. And then it says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Verse 3, we're reading in Romans, the 13th chapter. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he, speaking of government, is the minister, it is the word didakonos, which is the same as the word servant. For he is the servant, minister of God, to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth the sword and beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Ladies and gentlemen, it says then, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. That is, ladies and gentlemen, that God created government. And three basic things that I want to point out to you quickly before we look at the balance of our thoughts today on the issue, equal rights and equal responsibility. First of all, we see the proper attitude toward government. We are all subject to government. God said it. I didn't. Now, there are a lot of things that we don't like about government. There are a lot of things that they're passing today in Washington and in Jacksonville and in Tallahassee and every other county seat and state headquarters that we the people, are opposed to. Simply put, ladies and gentlemen, let me say this at this point. What if it were possible that everyone that makes the laws, everyone that creates the laws out of Washington, Tallahassee, and other state headquarters, what if they were responsible for living under the same law? You see, they're talking about social medicine in Washington, but yet the House members and senators have a Cadillac plan that's not subject to their own laws. The laws that are passed, called the red flag laws, and we'll talk about those further in the broadcast, most of these senators have security guards, security entourages, escorts to take them someplace, some way with services that we the citizens, we the people, do not have. So they feel above us. They feel as though they can make the laws and we have to live on them, but they do not. But the scripture points out very clearly there ought to be the proper attitude toward government. We're all subject to government. And secondly, the proper allegiance to the government. It's ordained, that is approved, set up by God. So if we know it is ordained of God, set up by God, the system is ordained of God, it is set up by God. And if we know that, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to recognize it, and there ought to be the proper acknowledgement attitude toward it. And the purpose for the purpose that is acknowledged of government is that God's servant, the government, to protect the good. Verse 3 and 4 in that text. And God's servant, that's the government, to prosecute evil. But ladies and gentlemen, we're finding the reverse of that taking place on a national level. We're finding Christian bakers, Christian photographers, Christian florists, et cetera, being persecuted and prosecuted for doing good, for obeying the scripture, for being obedient and serving God, and not willing to serve the sodomite lifestyle, et cetera, which we'll talk about in a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, it is very, very clear in the scripture, just why then do we see government today prosecuting Christians? Why do we see government today that's intervening in the life and the work and the ministry of the Christians in America today? Why do we find the Christian florists and the Christian bakers and the Christian photographers honoring God and refusing to honor and to serve a sodomite wedding, and yet we're not witnessing the evils that should be prosecuted? Murder by way of abortion should be prosecuted, not proclaimed and embraced and upheld and paid for taxpayer money. The sodomite weddings ought not to be that which is today embraced by government, much less of people, and much less of God, and it is not embraced by God. The LGBTQ agenda that receives taxpayers' funds to recruit our children by way of the drag queen story hours, being paid for by taxpayer money. Government basically saying it's okay, ladies and gentlemen. Murder by way of abortion, being funded to a major extent through Planned Parenthood and other abortuaries, being funded with taxpayer money. The point that I'm making is the diametrical difference between what God ordained government for, and we see the free-wielding government today making the determination on the laws they're going to pass, of which they do not live under, making the determination, ladies and gentlemen, that there ought to be some kind of prosecution and punishment for those that say, I'm going to obey God and not government, making the determination that somehow, some way, that there can be a, and I'm not in agreement with what Weinstein has done, but Harvey Weinstein and his prosecution for coming out of the Me Too movement today, and yet in the U.S. House of Representatives, we discovered just a couple of years ago, they have a slush fund of about $17 million, so that if anybody gets in trouble with doing things sexually immoral, that they can pay the person off through the funds that's there in the slush fund. Taxpayer dollars, by the way, of $17+ million, and it's supposed to be all right for them. But Harvey Weinstein, it's not all right for. The point that I'm making and digressing and using that illustration, ladies and gentlemen, is that we have an attitude and a mindset in society today that there ought to be equal rights, but there is somehow, some way, a disingenuous attitude about the equal responsibilities. And God created government that it would prosecute evil and protect good. And we have it totally reversed in the American jurisprudence system today, as I have not seen in my lifetime. Ladies and gentlemen, across America, we have about 17 states, maybe more, but about 17 states that have inculcated, instituted what's called the red flag laws. And I say that, ladies and gentlemen, and I make the nexus and the connection with Chuck Schumer and what we're talking about with the red flag laws. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about extensively for the balance of the broadcast, the red flag laws and how it interacts with what ought to be done with Chuck Schumer and the response that ought to be taken. Because you see, under the red flag laws, ladies and gentlemen, in 17 states and here in the state of Florida, we're under the red flag, one of the red flag laws. And the red flag law, ladies and gentlemen, it's passed in these states, but let me remind you, it is unconstitutional. It is an unconstitutional law after the Parkland school shooting here in the state of Florida, 2017. It was the knee-jerk responsibility for the state of Florida. It's been the knee-jerk responsibility in several of the states, including the state of New York, that just last September passed a red flag law. We'll talk about that in a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, as a result of the red flag laws being passed, the government, law enforcement, that's supposed to be to protect the good and to prosecute the evil, it gives law enforcement the free-wielding hand to go in, ladies and gentlemen, enter your home, search your property, seize your weapons, and put you in jail. And some of the red flag laws says up to 14 days. I know of some cases up in New Jersey and New York where an individual spent individuals have been in jail 6 months, 3 months, 9 months, et cetera, trying to get the funds to pay an attorney to try to get them out so that they can then do battle to try to get their weapons back and to put their lives back together. Ladies and gentlemen, that law is in effect in New York City, New York State today. It is the law of the state, and Chuck Schumer is subject to that law because he is from New York. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just go further. Simple answer is, if someone with the in the states, the 17 states where have the red flag laws, and if someone could be a friend, could be a family member, it could be a doctor, it could be your counselor, it could be your next door neighbor, it could be a coworker, all they've got to do is privately, surreptitiously, call a law enforcement agency and state something that could be true or false, that you have a weapon, you're considered dangerous, you're threatening people verbally, and you're concerned about it. You know what happens? Law enforcement then will simply go into your home by force, search your property, take any weapon that you've got, confiscate it, handcuff you, and put you in jail. Now, to my knowledge, that's not happened with Chuck Schumer. To my knowledge, he's not had any response from law enforcement whatsoever. And I'm concerned about that. And I say, just as this article that I'm looking at now says, Chuck Schumer's credibility hanging by a thread. Before Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York, stood on the Supreme Court steps and threatened two men inside, he voted for the bill. That is the bill that is the one that will take a baby's life in the mother's womb. That is, he has no credibility by saying that. Here's an article that says, black gun owner in New Jersey arrested for carrying a licensed gun and possessing legal ammunition. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll share more about this article in a moment. But the point being, we're in a position today where there is not a recognition of, though we have equal rights, of having equal responsibility. Chuck Schumer and others in the elitist beltway, they have the mindset somehow, some way, that we can fall under the letter of the laws that they pass, but they are absolutely over and above the law. They're the elitists that do not have to obey the law. Just as AOC has some major outstanding tax bills in New York, she has laughed at them, mocked at them, and not doing anything about them because she feels she's above the law. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to talk about equal rights and equal responsibilities.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.